from the artist's point of view, finding yourself will be an eternal story. Every day you are faced with something that's going to teach you a little bit more about yourself.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. We have got Pip Birchfield, also known as Pip the Pansy, in the house. Pip, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am ready. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So excited to have this lovely lady on the show today. She is an incredible artist, musician, performer, friend, human being. We first actually met here in Aspen, Colorado, when we were in a racquetball court and she was playing her flute like I've never seen. It was like a scene from Peter Pan doesn't even like quantify it, but it was just like incredible, melodic, beautiful notes. And her and her husband, Sam Birchfield, were doing some work together. They came to Unconventional Life Bali and joined us. And I've just been such a big fan ever since. And for those of you that don't know Pip the Pansy, you know, she's played festivals, shows, you know, all over the States, all over the world, and really uses her dreamy flute melodies, explosive synth hooks, colorful spirit to really capture the audience. And, you know, working with artists such as the Shadowboxers, Kishibashi, the Revivalists, Hayley Kiyoko, and several others. And so really excited to have you on the show. I also know you just released a new EP, Love Legends Part 1, just last month, which is really exciting. So yeah, Pip, fill in any gaps I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Oh man, well, I don't think there were any gaps. That was a lovely intro. Just an independent artist, trying to make it work, making art and making a living doing art, and mostly travel the States right now and then hoping to stretch worldwide eventually. But yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it's definitely been cool to watch what you do and just the range of what you do. You know, I think you have so many elements of your self-expression, whether it's like pop or synth or whether it's flute or even folk or indie types of music. And I know Spotify is a big venue for you as well. And I know just a few weeks ago, you know, you were posting on your Instagram this thing called Artist Confessions. And that was actually when I first was like reading these Instagram stories. And he was just like blowing up with comments of people in response to really this permission to share themselves. So I'd love if you could take us back to that moment, just talk us a little bit about Artist Confessions, what it is, where it came from. And yeah, we can kind of just dive in from there.
Absolutely. So for people listening, I just basically posted on an Instagram story that some of the more embarrassing behind the scenes things that go on as an independent artist, because we're all sort of trying to like fake it till we make it. So you have to have this illusion that you're doing all right every time you do something. And I just decided to kind of let people know that it's not always glamorous. I expected that some people would relate, but I did not anticipate the amount of response that got. I mean, I don't think I even was able to read all of the messages, and I definitely wasn't able to share every response. But after I did my confession, yeah, I allowed people to like submit anonymously their confessions as well. It was a great experience. It's the first time I have such a love-hate relationship with social media. And that was the first time that I like truly loved it, because it felt like all of us were connecting over the fact that we do really just, I don't know, pitiful things to make it look like it's working. So, and that's the first time I've done it. Maybe I'll do it again at some point. But yeah, it was definitely interesting to see all of the response that it got. And it made me feel a lot better about myself. I think it made other people feel better about themselves, like that they're doing okay. It was kind of encouraging in a way. It stemmed from having a particularly rough week of touring where, I mean, sometimes you have shows where just, you know, nobody shows up and it's kind of beating up your ego. And then you feel this pressure to be on social media like, oh, I had a great time in New York City and New Jersey was so lovely. And it's just like, you know, I don't really feel like telling people that I had a great time in these places because the shows were not that fun and not super well attended. And so it just, instead of doing like my generic post about it, I was just sort of fed up after a week of kind of in the trenches touring, and that's what sparked the the confessions. So
yeah. Yeah, which I think, you know, it almost was like it was going viral to some degree, just seeing like all of the comments and the messages and all the stuff happening. And I think it really, like, one thing I really loved about it, I feel like it opened up the space for permission and for, you know, I think from this conventional perspective, like, you know, success is just like linear in one direction. It's all about keeping up appearances, fake it till you make it, as you said. And I think at the core of that, like, there isn't always happiness or connection or even realness. And at times it can feel really isolating and really lonely. And I know many of our listeners as well, whether you're, you know, in certain jobs or whether you're starting side projects or you've been entrepreneurial for a long time, like, it, you know, to like actually be witnessed and seen where you're at, like in like sometimes what feels like defeat or discouragement, isn't like a normal conversation. And I love that you just like basically created the invitation for that for other people. So
it was definitely a gratifying experience. And that's, I like what you say about not being, it can feel lonely to put on that facade all the time, and it is. So it was, yeah, it was really nice to be able to let, I mean, it was therapeutic for me. I'm happy to have opened that door for people, but them responding was just as therapeutic for my being as well. So sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second.
Yeah, totally.
I'm looking out the window. I gotta close my eyes.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, if there's any advice you have too for any of our listeners, just in terms of like creating more opportunity or invitation to come more into like what's actually here, rather than, you know, the appearances. And yeah, just any like advice that you have, either if they want to take that with themselves or even open up that space for other people in their life.
The biggest thing, I think, is not getting caught up in success, because, first of all, it depends on how you define success. And like you said, it can feel like it's this linear thing and we have to keep climbing higher and higher. But I try to remain focused on who I am more than what I am. So it's like what I am is a singer or a touring musician, but who I am is different than that. And so constantly feeding the who instead of the what, I think, is a way that you can remain fulfilled despite like massive failure or massive success, because both can be really difficult on the spirit. So that would be my strongest advice. And then also not being afraid to be honest and open with people about where you are, because it turns out a lot of people are feeling that way. And so then you can build a community that can help each other. And just to remain focused also on what the overarching goal is. So it's like, I still will go out on the road and my ego will take a beating. And that's something that I have to wrestle with all the time. But I didn't pursue this path because I wanted any accolades. It's like, I have to make music and I have to make art. It just feels like the thing that I'm supposed to do. And I believe that artists are, lately I've been saying that we excavate truth out of mystery, and there's something really satisfying about that. And when you're able to do it successfully in that, like, it resonates with other people, that's really fulfilling. And it doesn't matter how many people are in front of my stage, and it doesn't matter what number is next to my Spotify streams. All that matters is that I'm trying my hardest to dig through mystery and figure out what truth is in there that needs to be said at the moment. So it's, you know, and that's what I aim for, but I still miss the mark. And then I have weeks where I'm really just bummed out because, oh, this didn't go well and we didn't have enough ticket sales and da da da, and you get all up in your head. But if you can remind yourself what your true aim is, it quickly gets you out of that headspace. That was a lot.
Absolutely. I'm definitely struck with two things you said. One, the, you know, who I am, not the what I am. And it also reminds me, I know you went through a lawsuit actually, where it feels like that was like one of the lessons potentially that I was reading an article that was written on you or some publication that you were in. And it seemed like that was the lesson. Like it was like a $30,000 lawsuit and to actually come to this core of like, you know, and so I'd love if you can just share a little bit about that, because I think it's such an important story to some degree for so many of us, because even for myself, like I cling and I attach, and it's like the ego, like you said, it comes in and it wants to like win everything and conquer everything. But it's like, what's the real essence of it? And how do you stay, you know, like nourished and fulfilled by yourself? And how do you know when to let go and when to walk away? Like what you did basically with the lawsuit.
Yeah, that was a crazy time in my life. Basically, I was performing under a different stage name, and it turns out there was another artist on the West Coast with the same name, and it was spelled the same. And normally, I mean, this was very early in my career, like the first 2 years in, neither artist was really at the level where it needed to matter, you know, like neither of us were nationally touring acts, and at the time, that artist had one track on SoundCloud. They didn't even have like a website or anything on iTunes or whatever. So I didn't think it was going to be this big issue, but it turns out that she had family in the industry and just a little bit more money to put up against it. And so it kind of spiraled into this huge beast of a thing. And I was quite stubborn at first because I felt like, well, I've been working on this name for 2 years and this person hasn't done anything with that name, and I deserve it. And it's a family name. So I want to keep it. And like, you know, I felt like I had this valiant fight that I needed to take on, you know, and it actually turned out like what I thought I was fighting for was, I thought it was good, but it made me so stubborn and then so focused on like, I mean, it was kind of pathetic. I mean, it was like obsessed with her numbers versus my numbers, and like would check her Instagram every day and be like, oh no, she got like 10 more followers and I need to get 10 more followers today. And like really just like crazy stuff like that does not matter, because that's not, that has nothing to do with the essence of being an artist. And it just started to take over my life, and it was a really complicated, messy back and forth with the lawyers. And so I think I finally came to terms with the fact that I wasn't fighting a good fight anymore, I was fighting a bad fight, and that I needed to, because the name was my grandmother's maiden name, and so the things that I wanted it to represent was what I needed to fight for. And that's just you know, being an honest person and a person full of love and truth, and it was turning me into a person that was not full of love. I was like very angry and frustrated. So I had to give it up so that I could still uphold those values, and it was hard and there were a lot of growing pains, but, and you know, there's still a ton of legal debt and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, it definitely was a big lesson in letting go. And that had I let go sooner, maybe it wouldn't have been such a monster. That's not to say that you shouldn't fight for what's right. You should fight for what's right. But in my case, what was right, I had what was right confused with what I wanted, I guess. And so it was a big lesson. And it's, I guess I've never thought of it that way, but it probably does inform this this feeling of not being so attached to, like, I guess what I am, as we put it before. Although I do still wrestle with that sometimes, but I guess I do have that narrative to remind myself to let go and focus on what is the main thing of importance here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think a lesson that many of us, including myself, wrestle with, you know, as well. And I think just, yeah, so many learnings and wisdom in that. And so thanks for sharing that piece. And, you know, the other thing that you said too was, like, following this path, like excavating truth from mystery, even the artist path, it's like coming from this place of, like, it's like what you're supposed to do. Like, it's what you feel. Like, there's no, like, everything in your being is, like, being compelled, you know, to create. And I know many people, like, often ask themselves, how do I even, and we get emails and all the time, like, how do I even know what I'm supposed to do? What really is my path? And what I'm feeling now from the outside, it looks like I should be happy with where I'm at and I have a good job, or I've got, you know, this opportunity, yet, like, I'm not satisfied, or I don't feel fully on purpose. And yeah, if we zoom out a little bit, like, I know, like, to even who you were, like, you know, pre-artist, I know you've always been an artist, but, like, what it's been like for you, say, the last, like, 10 or 15 years, like, some of the snapshots we would have seen, and how you've come to this sense of knowing in yourself. Like, did it happen overnight? Was it gradual? Was it something that's always been in you? Has it just always been this instinctive knowing? Just to kind of give some perspective to it so other people can start to, you know, hear their own journey and yours.
I would say from the artist point of view, finding yourself will be in an eternal story that, like, never stops turning pages. I think even who I was yesterday is different than who I was today. And you're just constantly, every day you are faced with something that's going to teach you a little bit more about yourself. And when I first started doing music, so I grew up pretty creative. I, as a little kid, you know, they said, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I would say that I wanted to be an author. And then at one point I loved marine biology, and I ended up going to university for photography. And so music was not the main focus in my life. It was after I graduated that I sort of bumped into that from that point. Like, if I look at myself from, like, when I started doing music, I almost cringe to think about her, because I had no idea who I was artistically. I was just writing things to build a catalog in a way. I was like, okay, I want to be a musician, so I have to have songs and I have to have a band. So I got a band and I wrote some songs, but the songs were not, they had some semblance of meaning, but they were not, like, they weren't accurately portraying some sort of truth that I needed to say. They were just songs to have songs, basically. And you start to feel empty if you do that too much. And I still do that sometimes. I have a couple songs that I hate to perform them now, because I know that I wrote them just because, like, the reason for one of them was, oh, I need an angry sounding song, so I'm going to write an angry song. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean anything if I'm not actually angry about anything. You know, the song is not, it's not rooted in something deep enough for me to sustain my love for it. So it, now I still perform those songs, but I'm just like, oh gosh, now I got this one next on the set list. Okay, let's get this over with. And so I think it's important to just create things, to try to create. If anyone listening is looking to be an artist, you should work out that muscle and create as much as you can, and then pay attention to the things you create that you don't like after some time goes by. Because I think things that are really truthful and things that are genuine, they will be timeless for you and your listeners. And so I would encourage people to just, I mean, sometimes making just to make is okay because it's good practice, but just to pay attention to how you feel about that thing that you made. And I've throughout time grown up a lot too, and I've learned new things and I've met new people, and that sort of feeds who I am, and then who I am informs how I do the what. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil to get, you know, the golden ticket or whatever. I'm not trying to sell out, but the only reason I can do that is because I've rooted who I am in what my morals and what my faith is. And so that's also helping to inform the decisions that I make every day, because both my husband and I have been offered things that sound very alluring, but would require some sacrifice of like artistic integrity. And we've just decided that that's not us right now. And so, yeah I think, sorry, I feel like I'm rambling so much.
But you're giving a lot of good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit? I love the point too about like compromising your values and morals, because I think even for myself, like on this path to finding success, it's like has at times, it's like, I feel like I'm chasing almost false summits. Like I'll get to the top, or I think something will be the thing that will have me feel whatever, and it isn't. Or, you know, I was talking to Hanalei Swan, who was the fashion designer at Our Unconventional Life, met in Bali.
Yeah.
This girl's like 12 awesome. Years old. She was offered $30 million by a VC person actually from that event, and she turned it down because she was like, you know, this isn't in integrity. It was like a big Shark Tank deal of what I want to do. And like, you know, I know you're not that old either. You're what, like mid 20s or so ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not
so
12,
like,
but
yeah, but I'm
a bit
still,
older than that. Yeah.
Still though, I mean, I think that some people like spend their whole lives, you know, really like finding that sense of themselves. I know I've spent a lot of time in my life finding that sense of myself. And so, yeah, any like points that you can reflect on how you do that, or even in some of those opportunities, because I know, like, you know, both you and your husband Sam have had a lot of success in a lot of different ways, but I do love the integrity that you keep with it. So how do you hold both of those perspectives?
It's difficult. I mean, we don't always succeed. I don't want to sound like a self-righteous and I don't have it all put together. I basically just have like a target that I'm aiming for, but maybe I'm not the best archer, so I miss the target sometimes. But you know, it's like at least if you know what the target is, you can sort of keep yourself in line a little bit. But yeah, first of all, good for Hanalei Swan. That's really like I applaud her if she's listening. Good for you. that's amazing, because the thing is, like everybody wants money or fame or quote unquote success. It's not easy things to say no to. That's why they're tempting. Like if it didn't sound amazing, we wouldn't care. So it's like, yeah, there's a huge part of me that I just want to be famous, and I just want to have millions of dollars, and I want to live that lifestyle. And that is a hard voice to push away. Like you constantly every single day have to remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And I'm so lucky to have met Sam, because Sam is definitely a man of integrity, and we can have those conversations daily. Like even yesterday he was struggling with another artist, and I hope he doesn't mind him telling this story because it's a little bit negative, but there's another artist that he was sort of like, I don't understand how they have this huge following, and I don't like what they're doing, and it doesn't feel genuine. And it boiled down to that he felt envious, and he was like, I just need to not look at it because it's just making me jealous that they have something that I don't. And that's definitely a negative thing, and that's not what we're aiming for, but we're lucky to have each other that he can like say that out loud. And then we can battle it together. And so that's a huge thing that's helped me, is just surrounding myself with people that want the same good in the world that I want. And so we can keep each other in check. I mean, that happens to me on the daily too. I'll be like, oh, Sam, look at this. And he's like, hey, you know, that's not why you're doing it anyway. So it doesn't matter. And I'm like, man, he's totally right. So
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's Sam, it's my parents, it's my friends, it's the people that I put on my team, it's the people I surround myself with on the road, because the road is a rough place. It'll get you really, it'll like pump you up to the max happiness you felt, and then the next day it'll like slap you down into like the depths of hell. And it's just the back and forth of being on the road can be torturing. So you just have to surround yourself with other people, because with other people that are good, because you can't do it by yourself. I mean, I wouldn't have the same morals if I just was out here doing it myself. I would be way more, I don't know, way more greedy about it. So that, I guess that would be my biggest advice for that problem, is just to have conversations like this with the people around you, because other people are going to keep you centered. You know, it's why we want to have friends and relationships and community. It's something that we literally need in order to live in truth, I think. So,
yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, jealousy and envy and comparing ourselves, like, yeah, they're like, can be negative things, or like the shadow side that we don't want to talk about or talk out loud. Yet they're also so part of the human experience, you know, like, I don't know anyone, if we all really tell the truth to ourselves, like, you know, like maybe some of you listening to this, like you're doing this either right now or you were doing it like, you know, right before. And I just like, I think it's to have that witness perspective and give voice to it is so, so important. Mm-hmm. So I love you acknowledging that. So last question for you, then we're going to jump into the rapid fire rounds. But I know like as an artist, like you create such beautiful sounds. I don't know if you have your flute near you, by the way. I would.
I don't.
No. We'll have to plug in an audio clip for you. Pip is so amazing. Okay. But I'd love to, you just can share a little bit about where, I know you just wrote this, you know, released this new EP, Love Legends Part 1, and you're working on Part 2, but where does your inspiration come from? And, you know, where did the inspiration from that come from? And, you know, like even keeping your creative resource well, you know, abundant, like how do you relate with that process?
I'm excited to talk about this, because actually the first time I went out west, and it might have been that Aspen trip, I had mostly just been up and down the East Coast. And the first time, oh no, my first time out west was Moab. Okay, sorry, starting over. My husband and I went to Moab to visit. He had a sister that had moved to Utah. We both were so moved by that trip, because it's the first time we've seen the desert in that way, and the first time we've seen the stars in that way. And it was this really just crazy, this crazy feeling. It put a lot in perspective for us. And at the same time, you know, we're on the road a lot. We actually usually drive, so it's like a 28-hour drive to get over in y'all's neck of the woods. And so we listen to a lot of podcasts while we do that, and we ended up bumping into this clinical psychologist that he actually, there's a lot of hate around him in the media, but I really love him, and I've now seen him live a couple times. But his name's Jordan Peterson. And so at the same time, we were on this Jordan Peterson kick and listening to a lot of his stuff. And he's a professor, and he's got lectures on just the meaning of life, and it's just full of depth. And so that combined with this trip had us both thinking about what do we want to say with our art in this chapter of our lives. And for me, it's like I think about people dying all the time, not mm-hmm. not in like a negative, creepy way. It's just, it really is constantly at the forefront of my mind, and I just think it's so strange that we go away, and like in a sense, you know, we become part of like a more collective thing in the end. But yeah, I'm just like constantly meditating on specific people in my life dying or myself dying. And I thought, man, it's kind of a shame, because my music falls sort of in the pop realm. It's like indie electronic pop, but I was like, it's a shame that what is on the radio is, you know, it's a lot of party culture songs, or it has a lot to do with, maybe some shallow kind of love songs, or they're very generic. And I'm not hating on that, because I think there's also value to things being entertaining, like that's one aspect of it, but I don't view them as like deep art necessarily. And so I wanted to create something that would maybe focus more on morality and stuff, something that would be helpful if you die. We'll die. Everyone will die. So it's like I kind of wanted to have, you know, a chapter in my life that's focused on, well, I want my whole life to be focused on that, but these next few projects I think will be, they will be rooted in sort of that thing. And so I started looking at a lot of Greek mythology because I think there's really deep lessons in that. And my faith, I'm a Christian. And so it's actually, it's cool to really dig into other religions or even ancient religions and see that the truth is the same across the board in every single one of them. And so that's this incredible thing. And so I wanted to put it in, kind of in a Greek mythology, a Greek mythology lens. So all the songs are, you know, I've got one about Medusa and one on the sirens, and it touches on Aphrodite and Cupid. And I think I'll continue doing that with like part two. Maybe there'll be part three. I don't know. And part of it too is that I was a art major, and I have a great love for the Renaissance and Italian art. And of course, that's what the Italians did in the Renaissance. Was they brought all the ancient stuff back to life. It was the rebirth of these ancient stories and just this explosion of art and culture. And so I'm just having a little mini Renaissance with myself over here, and then putting it in the form of music, and hopefully getting those truths off my chest. And you know, I'm not saying anything new with them. I'm just saying it in my way, I guess. But yeah, so that's the pool of inspiration. It was a lot of things colliding together that have brought this idea to the surface.
Yeah, so good. Well, I know you actually did something really cool. You shot all the music videos on your iPhone, which, by the way, we'll put some of the links on the blog, but when you see these videos, like, they're really cinematic. Like, they're really artistic. I mean, even like you just said, bringing the Renaissance, like it's like having your own Renaissance almost through the songs and through the images. And so it's, really interesting and really unique to see it all brought to light. So,
That's for people that don't have a budget. That was kind of my goal, was to be like, what can I do that I still love that is on like a budget of $0 almost? I just wanted to see if we could do it. And they turned out okay. I was pleased with them. So cell phones, man, if you have one, you can do anything.
Yeah. And I mean, just another way I think that you're always, pushing the envelope in how you create and show up. So good. Well, let's jump into the rapid fire round. This is the last part of the show. And then Pip the Pansy has got an amazing giveaway. So stay tuned for that. We've got a few lightning questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Oh my gosh, I think so.
All right, question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
Wait, is it about me or about you?
About you. So yeah, you'll say it about yourself. So just like say the stem and then answer it back.
Okay, if you really know me, you would you would know that I love sushi? I don't know.
Awesome. Okay.
I'm well under pressure.
It's really good. Next question. What is one practice that you do regularly that you feel sets you up for success?
Oh gosh. A cup of coffee all by myself in the morning, just like meditating on what the day is going to look like.
Yeah, so good. Next question. If you could turn back the time to your 16-year-old self and give her a piece of advice that you know now, what would you say?
Oh, wow. Most things don't matter as much as you think they do.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And last question. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
I think it means following what is truthful instead of what is successful.
Yeah, so good. Pip, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
Yes, so I am going to give away a Pip the Pansy bundle. So that's going to have my new EP in CD form, and then a collector's item enamel pin. It's a Medusa pin, as well as a newspaper with lyrics all over it. It's like a newspaper that came from the Land of Love, which is where the EP has come from. So that is my giveaway, is the Pansy bundle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be so awesome. You can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com to click on the giveaway tab and get all the information about that. And then Pip, for those that want to check out Love Legends, the new EP, want to learn more about what you're up to, follow along, what's the best way to do that and to stay in touch?
Probably my website, which is pipthepansy.com. And then all of my socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is at Pip the Pansy. So that's where I'm the most active. It's on Instagram,
that's,
I guess.
Amazing. Yeah, we will put all those links on our website. So listeners, you can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com to get that. And Pip, it was so fun talking to you a little bit today. I know I'll see you in Colorado. We're playing a festival, I think an Oktoberfest coming up here sometime in the next little while. But yeah, I know you've had a really full touring schedule this summer and all kinds of great stuff. So really enjoyed having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was fun.
Yeah. All right, Unconventional Lifers, thank you everyone for tuning in. We will have more amazing content coming at you guys soon. Thanks, everyone.